Guys, we did it. Episode 200.
Yeah!
Oh, man.
Pretty that is, hard to believe.
That's, in fact, by the way, 100 more than the last time we did a special like this.
What? That's how math works?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
So it's twice as much.
Yeah.
I've never counted that high before, so serious doubt.
I don't even think that number exists.
All right, so Tim, look at this. Watch. So we did 190. We did 199 last week, right?
Yes, total previous sets. Week.
Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, add mm-hmm. one to it. So you got to just do some carrying. Okay.
Okay.
So uh-huh, you carry. Add a one, yep. So that yep. nine turns into a 10, but the 10 doesn't fit in that spot, so you got to carry a one over.
Yeah, you shove it over.
Mm-hmm. Right, but there's a nine there.
Yeah.
So you got to do another one where you got to carry it over again, right?
Do
but
you?
But this is cool. This is cool. So that one in the 100s.
Uh huh.
That becomes a two.
Man, I can't wait to see Jake next time in person so I can burn him as a witch.
Jake, you're breaking his head right now. Oh my God.
Brock was showing me some, like, he was proud of his ability to do division, and he was showing me his method. And it was a method I hadn't had before. It was called, like, the Big Seven. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. I've never divided that way.
The Big Seven.
Yeah, it was like, it was like a cheat.
What kind of like Arcadia nonsense is like? Are you, like Arcadia Fallen is based around the seven lost gods. Like, what is this?
The only thing I know about like modern math and stuff is that every school teacher I know that teaches young kids hates the way they teach kids to do math now. They all
yes,
hate it.
Yes.
The big division seven method, also known as partial quotients. Is a flexible long division strategy that uses the large bracket shaped like a seven to break down problems by subtracting easy multiples of the division of the divisor until the dividend is reduced to zero or a small remainder, then summing up the multiples partial quotients for the final answer. Okay, so it's just breaking it down into easier chunks, which is cool.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
It was cool.
Yeah. So now I gotta say, guys, one of the things that I've noticed that we've never done something on the show, and I think that we could start doing it.
Big we have funny.
No, we do that.
Dang.
Fine. We do that just fine. Mostly because you're here, John. One thing that we've never done as a show is to do a cold open.
Huh.
All of my favorite shows do cold opens, and they're sometimes the funniest part of the episode.
So, like, episode one, when you gave the whole, intro to the story, that we still had banter before that, like literally episode one.
Episode one, we had banter. We introduced ourselves and talked about our favorite fast food.
Ah, and then you went dang
right.
See, my memory of episode one was you went right into the monologue about the adventure. But man, wow.
No, and I mean, like, I don't know if I call that a cold open. That's sort of like just like
I guess
mysterious
second the story.
It's a mysterious disconnected exposition. But I think we could do some cold opens. I think we could, like, it would be a little fun little role play thing, and it would like break into the episode, and so it would knock out some funny stuff right in the beginning, get people really interested in the show, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, and right, we have this like thing that we're doing. I don't know. I think we could do it.
What's an idea of an example you'd give us?
Wait, no, I got one right off the top of my dome, okay?
Go ahead.
So, scene opens. We see Kezra, pantsless, as usual.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, has, like, a chicken, a feathered and tarred chicken in his hand that he's roasting, like, over a spit. You know, obviously not very healthy, not really good for you to roast a tarred chicken, right?
No.
And then you just
I'm very fucking confused.
Why are we tarring and feathering the chicken?
You cut to Benson crashing into, like, this hovel that Kezra's at, dumps a bucket of water on him, and just like, all right, Kezra, you need to get your shit together. It's go time. And then Kezra walks out of the hovel. You just see there's this mass fight going on.
See, I would say more a cold open could go with, like, saying, like, you were like, all right, let's go into this building or whatever, you know. There shouldn't be anyone in there. And go in and out. Easy. 10 minutes. And then it will cut to, like, an Always Sunny intro where the sting will go. And, like, It did not take 10 minutes.
the gang takes 3 days to get through the
dungeon. The gang gets brutalized by dwarves in full plate. I mean, come on.
All right, yeah. Two things. First, you guys are going to think I'm really stupid, because when you said we do cold open to be open, I wasn't thinking our characters doing a cold open. I was thinking it was just the five of us doing some random cold open. I'm like, how does that work?
You're saying that, like, the five of us live on this podcast develop a improv troupe. That's what the implication is.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Well, that leads into my second question. Is the cold open that we're doing with our characters something that is scripted, or do we improv some weird cold open scenario?
I mean, this whole show is improv, so we, you know, doing a cold open improv, that's kind of what we do. It's kind of what we do sometimes. It's just we take the improv that we usually have with roleplay scenarios and just do a cold open with it. So I just say, here's the scene, you guys do your improv bit, you know, your little roleplay, and then I cut it off at a really funny moment, and that's the cold open.
I mean, as long as we had a consistent time where the listener could skip the cold open.
Impossible. Impossible to do.
so that people
not hear the nonsense, please go to 1029. 1029, thank you. I would be open to trialing it ourselves and not releasing it on an episode. To see if it makes any sense. Or if it sounds absolutely stupid.
Because I'm all about flexing and gaining those improv muscles, you know? So,
oh, no, I'm definitely interested, but it could be a total
crush.
This could be totally
new thing for us. That would be very hard.
Every show has a few bumps, you know? Not every show is perfect. So, that being said, the thing that got me was I was recently watching, when I had this idea, I, of course, went to the number one place, which is still go to YouTube, where you can watch a 60-minute video of Parks and Rec cold opens. And it was just the cold opens, which, of course, is my favorite, is the one where Ron Swanson rips his own tooth out. And then, like, everybody freaks out. Tom Haverford fucking passes out on the floor. It's just, it's so funny.
You always need to let your employees know that you can bear an incredible amount of pain.
Yeah, like, because he got it pulled out from the dentist like that week or something. Yeah. So he just so brilliant.
Yeah, then he just says, he's like, it's also really fun to watch Tom pass out. Like,
right. Oh, man. But so any favorite cold opens? But before we jump into the episode 200 special, I want to keep the energy high.
Yeah.
Well, mine's easy because it's from the same show. It's the coffee maker cold open where it breaks and they're trying to figure out who it is, and all the employees are fighting amongst themselves. Goes into some real horrible shit. Throat, and then it just cuts to Ron looking down at the coffee maker. He's like, "I broke it." It's hilarious.
Oh man.
I mean, as I kind of mentioned before, Always Sunny always has fantastic cold opens.
Yep. Legendary.
Oh, God. Yeah. Complete with a musical cue that just kind of works perfectly. But, I mean, the one that just keeps coming to mind is the Sweet D one, where she's like, "And Sweet D beat the system." And then says, "Sweet D gets audited," like, immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
just the tune with it just makes me crack up every time.
Always Sunny's amazing. I always love the cold open for the pilot of 30 Rock. It's Liz Lemon standing in line for a hot dog at a hot dog stand, and like some like rich dude walks up and like just cuts in front of the line, and she's like, "Hey, line's back here, buddy, can't cut." And he's like, "It's just a hot dog." She starts arguing with him, and then like other people start lining up behind that dude on the other side of the cart, and then she like starts a war between the two carts, and the guy just like tries to buy a hot dog. She's like, no, "I'll take all the hot dogs," and she buys every hot dog, and then she's just like walking to work handing hot dogs to people, and they're all just like throwing them away.
Who would throw away a hot dog?
It was just weird. It was like a random lady with a box of hot dogs. So that's for a show that has a lot of good cold opens, that was his first one, and it was amazing.
Dang.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen that one. You said it was the pilot?
That's the pilot. That's the pilot. Cold open. It's amazing.
I will have to go back and watch that.
Oh, God, that show.
Man. Well, not many shows get to 200, but we did. We did over many years and through COVID. So let's give the people what they want, guys. get into it. Tim, I want some dark and stormy music. I want some anticipation built. I want some rain. There we go. That's good. We see a dark and stormy night over an ocean. The waves crash against each other violently, while the clouds churn themselves into a fit of anger. Lightning cracks repeatedly across the sky, illuminating the horizon. A small vessel cuts through the water into frame. It's a sleek-framed sloop with the name the Pipit. A man crouches expectantly at the bow of the ship, cloaked with his face hidden from the rain and from us. He clenches his cloak tightly to keep the rain out and his warmth in. After a minute, he turns abruptly and walks to the stern, where a halfling controls the helm.
"How much longer do you think the journey's going to take?"
he says through the downpour. "Another 30 minutes, sir. If the wind and waves treat us nicely, that is," the halfling says with some waning confidence. The cloaked figure looks out at the water again and says,
"Just keep us afloat. We'll get there if she wants us to."
We then follow the cloaked figure as he makes his way below deck for a reprieve. Down in the hall sit three figures at a table. The door frame and poor lighting in the room obscures their faces. A rich scent of herbs fills the cozy chamber, lending a comforting warmth that counters the oppressive storm raging outside. The figure looks to the first one on his left and says,
"You know, it means a lot to me that you would sacrifice your time to aid me this night. I am forever in your debt."
Lady Milari de Cor leans out of the shadows and says,
"Smaller sacrifices must be made now before greater sacrifices are made later."
"This is true. I pray that your girls will be well in your absence."
"If they can handle themselves, my other teachers will keep them on schedule."
The cloaked figure nods in agreement and then turns to the figure on his right.
"I know this isn't what you usually do with your agents. Are you still confident you can handle this type of mission, though?"
Nolly Peltry casually stretches her arms back, holding a garden tool, and says,
"Didn't you hear, old man? I got the kidding blow on an ice devil. That Gilligan never even knew what hit him."
"Yes, I'm aware of your feats that day, including when you saved all those families."
"That's why we're here, aren't we? No one will be in shackles again while we're still alive."
Another small figure in the back finally pipes up.
"Simmer down, you old codger. You're dragging the very out of this room with that attitude. Besides, you aren't alone here. You're with your friends and allies, whether you like it or not. Now take some of this so you can keep your wits about you. You'll need them."
Larry Longrose leans forward with a hot cup of coffee and places it on the table.
"I know you're right. I just can't help but feel the weight is on me. Can't do it alone, but I also can't stomach the idea that you're all in danger because of me."
"Well, we all agreed to come here with you, didn't we? So enough of this doom and gloom. We have a mission to complete, and we will succeed. These people are in need, and guess what? We're the only ones who can do anything about it."
She stands up in her chair, looking each person in the eye.
"If we haven't come, they'll be hopeless. But since we're here, there's hope. And that's something no storm can take away."
The figure whose face has been hidden this whole time takes off his cloak. We only see his hands as he picks up the cup of coffee. The camera follows the cup up to his lips as he takes a smooth and comforting sip. The camera slowly zooms out to reveal the face of Sir Thorn.
"Yes!"
"Cup of your coffee, Laria. Takes a sip. Chase the shadows from any man's soul. Might even bring the dead back for seconds."
Laria gives a smirk.
"Oh, I know it."
At that moment, Hundi Vosh, the halfling we saw up top, comes running down into the hall.
"Sir Thorin, I see the island. We're only a few minutes out now."
"All right, Sir Thorin, so you brought us all here together. So what's the plan? We just going in with our hoes and swords ablaze, or are we taking a subtler approach?
No, I think we should use the rain to our advantage. I didn't, we need to see if there's anything on this island, but, if there is, they'll be waiting for us.
And Malaria. Malaria, I didn't, expect to see you here with us. Of course, it's a pleasure to have your company. I thought maybe you want to set someone lower down. That Oakwood fellow that, seems to be your new special friend. I thought he might be joining us, but curiously, he's absent.
Unfortunately, he's been burning the candle at both ends. He needs to sit out for a little while. I needed to stretch my feet.
I see. Well, all the same, I know with you by our side, our chances have doubled, nay, tripled. Do you have any intel that's worth speaking about, Malari? I know, Sir Thorne, you were the one who caught wind of this rumor, but Malari, did you hear any whispers in your network?
May I make a knowledge check on this particular island?
Yeah, society.
Society. Now I need to find that on this sheet. Is that even on these sheets?
Yeah, so it's on the first page, actually. For everyone listening, they are playing NPC sheets. So on the under languages, you'll see like skills, and then just kind of goes to that list there.
Ah, there it is. I say as I immediately lose it. Plus 20.
Your only knowledge of your, like, underground?
Yes.
Networks?
Yes, and that will be 34.
34. So, you know just from your place in Kintargo that this place used to be a penal colony, but has since been abandoned. In fact, apparently that it was a penal colony that they lost contact with, and so they had just sort of like left it alone. They were like, bad shit happened here, let's leave it. But the fact that you had gotten some information that people were being taken here, you think it might be being used again, and that maybe the Scarlet Triad had like found some use of it. But it feels like a cursed place that nobody really wants to talk about.
Was it very simply just like a prison island, or was there something here that did the prisoners mine something here? Was it a labor colony? Was it what?
It was a labor colony.
Okay. Oh yeah, especially since Kintargo had like this weird like juxtaposition between being owned by Cheliax, freedom from Cheliax.
Exactly.
So yeah. Who knows what like the Chelaxian Empire might have used this place for in the past too, which is like Yeah. I know Kintargo has been quite busy trying to quell its own problems it's had on the inside. I can't imagine that Dietmar has fared any better.
No, I can't imagine. Laria, do you have my Americano?
Oh, yes, of course. Here you go. And
can Sir Thorin head up on top of deck and do a perception on the island since we're getting close?
Yep, absolutely. So it, as I said in the intro, it is heavily raining. Your basic perception just gives you like the shape of the island. But go ahead and roll perception with some negatives to kind of see if you can see anything as you're coming up to it.
Oh, by the way, Laria does pass over a tea for Malaria. So,
yeah.
And there you go. And if you drink it, or you have it right now, but if you drink it, it will give you plus one iron boost to athletics and acrobatics checks for 10 minutes.
Oh, sick.
Thanks, buddy.
Jake, do you want to roll my perception? It's plus 19.
Yeah, let me do that. By the way, this episode brought to you by
Black Oak Workshop, where dice are treasure.
Oh yeah, I just wanted to give a shout out to our most recent giveaway winner. Rambling Goopball on the Discourse. You also might know her as Stitchy Witch Creations. They do amazing stitchy things. I don't know if it's crochet or knitting. Okay, I know there's a difference, but I don't know the difference.
It's some kind of witchcraft. It's yarn.
Yes, it's the fiber arts. It's the fiber arts, okay? So yeah, you know, give them a shout out on our Discord. Check them out on their socials. Yeah, they do awesome work. Commission them. Commission them.
Please, I have before. And yeah. They do incredible stuff. So, as you get up to the top deck, Thorn, you look out and you can see what appears to be some kind of structure. It looks like those camps where they just take like logs and just like sharpen the tops. That's what you see is like a large fence, and you can see what appears to be some kind of watchtower encampment. Not like a full on watchtower, but like, you know, a thing on stilts, like that kind of thing. So it looks very low key, but it does not look abandoned. You can see maybe a torch or a candle or something.
Some smoke.
Yeah.
All right. He pulls his hood a little back up over his face, heads back down, relays all the information. All right. Seems the intel is true. This place is not abandoned. We should try to find the most advantageous place to enter. We should do it with caution and slowly.
Maybe we're gonna find right through somewhere. The front gate it is.
I heard we can go through the front gate and no issues.
He says as he adjusts his metal greaves as they scrape along the bottom of the cuirass.
As three of us are... I mean, God, now it's like thinking back, I'm like, oh yeah, we can do it. I'm like, oh no, we're not. We're not the blender, basically.
Yeah.
Yep.
Perhaps we can find somewhere further down shore where the watchtower might not see through the thick rain. We might not be docking on a dock per se, but I'd rather trudge through a little bit of mud rather than get an unwelcome welcome.
Oh, yes. Of course, yes. I prefer not to be ambushed for whatever, whoever might be in there. And perception, like, I guess we could try drifting slightly out of the range of that watchtower.
Yeah, sure. So do you guys want to pull up onto it kind of from like out of sight of it?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, we'll yeah.
Okay. So you're saying it's heavy rain, right? So
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I mean, if you can't see unless they have, you know, a telescopic lens of some kind, probably not. But yeah, you assume they have the same kind of vision you do.
So we're gonna hit a sick Tokyo drift down the bay a little bit.
You pop a wheelie as you go a little bit south to come up on the underside of this.
Unfortunately, the guards see you, but they're like, "Damn, that's sick."
Let it slide.
There's a legend. I saw a boat do a wheelie. No, you didn't.
What's a wheelie?
So you guys come up on the south side of this. So I will bring you over to the map. You will see. There you are. Okay, so I'll put you on the dock. That's not where you are. Where do you guys want to go? Let me ask that. You can see the watchtower. I kind of gave you some vision of that, so you can at least see where it is. But what do you guys want to do here?
Where do we want to go? Well, is there a TGI Fridays on the island?
go roll society. No.
Damn it.
I was about to roll. I have a pretty good society.
I do too, actually.
Rolling an after 20 doesn't make a TGI Fridays. It just makes you know that there isn't one.
Well, I rolled a nat 1, so there is one, okay?
It's Ruby Tuesdays. We're all like, fuck!
At least half all the appetizers, right?
I mean, if we just hit it up from the side or something, I mean, we have literally zero intelligence of what is on this island.
Like, southwest looks good to me. It looks like far enough away that we could get a boat there. They wouldn't see it, and we could
creep along the fence.
Have the rain. Mm-hmm.
We could even check for depths, and then we could walk to. We could walk or wade to shore.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's even a better idea.
Okay. All right, so you want to kind of come up from the southwest of it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as you come up to the southwest, you do see that the wall just goes all the way around. Let me move your tokens here. By the way, this map's freaking huge.
Yeah. Like, moving our tokens took like 30 seconds.
Yeah, that was a long time.
Yeah, Jake literally edited out a minute.
It's been 5 years.
My God, it's like the quarry all over again.
I know, right? So you guys are able to kind of go around the southwest part of the wall here. And it looks like that just continues. It looks like some of the pylons that make up this spike wall are newer. So it looks like they had been replaced.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them probably got worn down. Looks like they've been replaced. You can tell that somebody has moved in here. And it's somewhat recent. If you want to go all the way around, I can drag you guys all the way around.
Yeah, so we're like, what would you think, like 40 feet away from the southwest wall, and we don't see any guard towers on this side so far.
No, okay. The only guard tower that you saw was the first one. And okay. That was just like a lookout.
Yeah.
So if you go north, I'll tell you that you don't see one there either. Huh. So it looks like the only thing that they were looking out for was anything coming from the wall.
People approaching.
Nice. And then we had this heavy rain, so that kind of gave us a good cover.
Exactly. Excellent. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I imagine we have the climbing equipment, but we should try.
Yes.
We should try to get some view into this place before we try to scale it. Any ideas?
Yes. Actually, I can work with that, actually. I'm quite a skillful climber, as I have a plus 22 athletics. My God.
Nali gives a nod to Laria. Wouldn't mind accompanying you myself, as I have a plus 19 to Ooh. Athletics, and a plus 22 to stealth, so it's a good combo.
Yeah, Sir Thoron will
actually see my athletics.
Sir Thoron will wait and watch because he can't climb that wall quietly.
Oh, it just sounds like a wrecking ball, like boom. What was that? The wind.
How does it feel wearing that heavy armor, Kelly? How does it feel?
I'll just send all you guys in to die.
All right, John, I added your athletics. It is going to be less than theirs, but you do have a bonus.
Okay.
Go ahead and roll me stealth checks. So this is going to be to, like, you know, throw the thing over and try to not make a noise.
Yeah.
And then we'll see about scaling the wall after that.
Okay.
Guess this would be like a ranged attack roll.
Yeah. So, you could easily get it over. It's really just the stealth about like stealth. Not making noise while you do it.
I got a 34.
Oh, damn!
A plus 18 to stealth. I mean, it's not bad.
Yeah, nothing.
Okay. All right. So definitely stealthy enough. You did the thing, you know, from Shawshank, where like you waited for the lightning. Oh. And then you throw it up at the exact moment, and when the metal hit, it was just
nice.
Go ahead and make climb checks. The wall is 20-foot high beams that are going up, but with the climbing gear, it significantly reduces the
distance. Oh yeah. Okay. That's actually a solid roll too. 18 on a die, so that'd be a 40, I think.
Oh, goodness. Oh,
18 plus 22, that makes 40, right?
Sheesh.
For some reason, she doesn't use her legs during the climb. It's weird. Like, it was a scalable wall. She just, like, pulled herself up by her torso strength. So you're able to get up. Who else is going over?
Nali follows closely behind with a 33.
Okay, you guys are good.
I'm sticking with Thorn.
Okay. All right, so you guys are hanging back, so it's only Laria and Nali.
Yes.
I'll just move our tokens up to
the... Yes, I will move your tokens in, so you guys plop over on the other side very, very stealthily.
Ooh.
You see a lot of buildings. So let me say this. So there are a lot of buildings here. Some of them look decrepit and run down. But there are others that have torches on them, like on the doors. And those are the ones that look to be in use. So there is a fountain in the center or some kind of pool. And there are four buildings that look to be in use. On the very, very far side, you see a bunch of carts over on the, like, northeastern side. Those look to be well in use. So it looks like there's a bunch of carts that look like they have used to transport something.
So I'm going to look to Laria. Hmm. We see the buildings that look obviously occupied, and then the building directly north of us is the one that looks decrepit.
Yes.
So I'm going to make, like, you know, Bellflower Network hand signals to say that we should stake out in the decrepit building. And then we could kind of chat and then maybe talk about next steps.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Check that out first, see what's going on inside. But yeah, like, they're just throwing gang signs back and forth at each other. but yeah, no, that's... sounds like the correct way. Like, God, so it's just an entrance?
Cause, like,
two entrances, like, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Because if this decrepit building, if we could get Sir Thorn in here, like, that would be huge compared to trying to get him over a wall. You know? Because we could work from this building.
Yeah, I mean, the wall does go behind that building.
So we could even land him almost, like, on it.
Yeah, on it.
Oh,
yeah,
oh, like, see, and here my thought was, then we could, like, slowly pop one of the things out, but no, that makes sense. Yeah. I don't know, I was just thinking different things.
Huh, that's interesting.
But it would be loud. That's
really interesting. Yeah.
And we don't have exactly the tools for... Well, actually, hold on.
You have Bellflower tools, which could be just about anything.
Well, because the Bellflower tool, like, it's a shape-shifting tool.
So a belt used for carpentry would look different from a belt for baking.
So it says different versions of the Bellflower tool belt are customized to suit a specific trade. Right, so, yeah.
I mean, Nolly's into gardening. There's nothing to say that she wouldn't have, like, her tool belt would be, like, you know, gardening slash carpentry type stuff, like... You know, sometimes you have to cut down small trees and stuff, or roots or trunks or whatever. Nothing to say she wouldn't have a handsaw.
I'm thinking these are, like, the thickness of telephone poles, so that might take too long.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, is that these things are
God thick. All night.
Yeah.
You know? You're talking Shawshank, we're spooning out the wall.
Yeah, but you're talking Shawshank until someone's like, who the hell is sawing out there?
Yeah, right.
But if this is, like, the thing that I'm kind of wondering is, like, is the rain heavy enough to disguise that sound? Are we far away enough? Because this is the decrepit building. The other buildings that are in use are, like, further away.
True.
So, it's like, I kind of wonder how far the sound would carry. Because we're talking, like, 40 plus feet, at least.
Yeah, and I would also check first that the building is actually
empty. Yeah, we have to go there first.
Yeah, let's check it out first.
There's a lot of assumptions.
Yeah, let's check it out first, then we'll make a decision afterwards. I mean, hell, we go in there and there's probably like two guys lighting up and they're like, oh shit! Like...
So when you go to the front of the door,
is there a window? We're small. We probably want to go through a window if there's one available.
There are no windows. These are very, very tight. So, but you can see through, like, some of the cracks, and if you go up to the door, you can see that there is no door anymore. You look in and... Open. Yeah, it's just open, okay. Yeah. So it looks very, very run down. It looks like some of the roof is caved in and stuff like that. Yeah. I don't think you guys went to that house that I went to when we went on our...
No,
you showed us the pictures.
I saw it. Oh, I didn't want to go in because I didn't want to get shot. But yeah,
I just cowered.
Also looked very much like it could collapse at any moment.
That too.
Didn't you go in when I had fallen asleep, or was it in the morning when I hadn't woken up?
I think I went in there in the morning. I think I like went. It was in the morning. I was like, I'm gonna go for a brisk morning walk.
Yeah, I remember. Ooh, I would have 100% gone with you.
Yeah. I had to step very, very lightly. So this is not the same thing, because the ground is just underneath you, so it's not like you can fall through into something. But it does look like some of the boards could easily be broken just by stepping on them. So you would have to step lightly, but it doesn't look like it's going to collapse anymore.
Okay. Well, I mean, we can just step, make sure, check it out that it is empty, and then use this as a base of operations.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
So I'm just trying to think of where else.
Yeah, so I think we would very likely stake out, like, peeking from, like, the door frame to see if there's any sort of rotating guard, and then decide when we want to bring the other two over, based on that.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so you guys get inside of there. How long do you feel like waiting before you try to, like...
That's a good question. I don't want to...
Let me say this. I would say that you came here about 9 or 10 at night.
Okay.
So it is late.
Right. I would say at least 30 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, we're going, like, we're trying to be very measured. Maybe, I mean, even an hour. I know that sounds excessive, but an hour for a guard rotation isn't out of the question.
Yeah, not to mention...
For making a round.
Yeah, not to mention we are for checking things out. Like, we don't want to make any mistakes, because, I mean...
Yeah.
We have our rope, at least, that should be... Like, just, you know, that sort of thing, too. Like, we're... Maybe disguise it so it doesn't look obvious that there's, like, a rope on the other side, you know.
Right.
Okay. All right. So, you make sure to cover your tracks and stuff like that. 30 minutes goes by. You hear some people talk. You don't hear much beyond just some banter. At a certain point, you guys are in this house, and a person comes out of the... building on the other side, which is like the smaller building facing you guys.
So the other end of the complex?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you are able to see him if you, you know, take certain angles and stuff like that. And he walks all the way down to the other side, and he's like mumbling and grumbling. And then he goes into the corner directly next to the building you guys are at and starts taking a leak.
So... Okay. So the building that is on the east of the complex, someone walks out, and then they go southwest to the building right next to us.
No. The building you're in, he goes right here.
Oh, like,
just north of the building that we're in.
Exactly. This is the pee spot. Oh, no. wait, I thought there was some porta potties down there on the south. All right. obviously that's where the restrooms are.
Actually, that is a good question. There are like 5 box looking things that look like porta potties near where we threw over the rope. What were those things?
So those are the vestigial drawing from when this is a first edition Adventure Path, and so that I think they're supposed to be like arrow targets for shooting that, but they're not there anymore.
Nothing there. Got it.
So ignore it. ignore the porta potties.
Why did you bring up the thing that was on the map, too?
see it. All right. So it's just this guy.
How much longer are we going to wait before going over?
I think once this guy goes back from his piss, we'll probably give like a tug on the rope, which is like a sign for you guys to climb over.
So he pees for 1 minute.
Dang.
2 minutes.
Uh-oh. Oh my god. What is he, an elephant?
And then he stops. And then he keeps going.
He's just like, come on. What was it? What was it in Zoolander? He's like, come on. There's a little bit more in there.
I was thinking of Austin Powers after they thaw him out.
I was just thinking of this. He's like, my prostate's the size of a chihuahua's head.
I was thinking, what was it like? It was Steve Carell, and he played that spy movie, and he was like. In like the restroom with like one of the bads, and he was peeing, and like he'd hold his pee when the guy was talking next to him to like the whoever, you know, spilling information, and then like when the guy like looked over at him, he just resumed peeing. It was just stop peeing, pee, stop peeing.
Wait, was it Get Smart?
I think it was Get Smart. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, that sounds like a Get Smart movie. Yeah. It's really funny. I googled Steve Carell's spy movie, and one of the pictures is he has a crossbow like in his mouth. Yeah. It's a pocket knife with a crossbow attachment, and there are two darts in his face. What the fuck?
That movie was wild. I loved it.
Don't think anyway. I ever saw it.
That looks like a fun film. I might watch this. All right. So anyway, so eventually he does stop peeing.
Eventually.
Apparently, the only rations they have on this island are asparagus.
Oh gosh.
Asparagus and Powerade.
So smelly. And you see that like you wait a little bit longer and there does be like a shift change.
Okay. Yeah, so we go back to the rope, give it a tug, let him know they can sling on over.
Would you like a hand, Sir Thorn?
I think I can get it. Wait, unless you have something I could help.
Well, I don't really want to use spell slots yet.
I can handle it. I got a great athletics.
So, fun little thing is because all of you guys are technically designated as my bellflower crop, you can aid each other. And John, if you roll a success to aid Sir Thorn, he gets a critical success instead.
Yep.
Then I will do that.
All right.
And that just goes for any aid that happens the rest of this.
We're your bellflower crop. Are you calling us all weed, Tim?
It's a cool ability.
Got lots of crop in the bellflower network. That's what you want to be.
I guess. So we're not worried about me being heard, right?
I mean,
aid me on the stealth, not on the athletic.
That's a good idea.
Okay.
There you go.
So, I'm going to roll a stealth.
Am I rolling with my stealth score, then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the aid, yep.
God damn it. I mean, I got a 7.
35.
So, I get a 9.
9.
So...
yeah, the athletics I should nail. Maybe if I crit the athletics, it can help. God, awful. I mean, 26 is still good because I'm good at climbing. But
I was gonna say, yeah, you definitely get over on the climb.
So for all the listeners that are involved here, I just want to let you in on something. I'm immensely satisfied right now. What? You can't go invisible, Kelly?
Get teleported.
How does it feel?
There's a fucking clanker climbing a wall.
You useless piece of shit. How does it feel?
Sir Thorne's just weeping as he scrapes and slides over this wall. Every time his sword just dings off the side.
Jeez. What was your total?
My total stealth?
Yes.
9.
Okay.
So much for that.
It is raining heavy. That's really what we're banking on.
Fucking 9, Tim.
you have hair points.
Okay, well, I was going to use my hero point if I knew I had one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was like, I wonder if I have a hero point. Should have asked.
Come on, Kelly.
That was the most subtle way of Jake being like, fucking use it, man. I don't know what you...
18.
That's better.
Plus 2.
Oh, God, that's better.
18 is with the plus 2.
Okay.
Or you could just say plus 2.
Right. Okay. So, you get over, and you hear two voices talk back and forth. Roll me perception checks.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely... heightened senses right now.
Mm. Right, yeah. You should be feeling like the...
Nolly hears all with an act 20.
Oh, yes.
Not bad.
You hear through the rain these guys talking back and forth, and they seem to have been talking about, you know, whatever before.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden one goes, you hear that? Hear what? I don't know. Is that you? No? What are you talking about? They definitely heard something. So you have some time.
Yeah, before they check it out.
Right. You feel as though they are suspicious.
Okay. So that was the building east east, southeast.
So you hear the voices coming from the front of these two buildings, directly in front of the one you're in.
Okay. So I think so Nolly senses that like there's some suspicion. So I think it's like a hand signal to Laria to get the rope, and let's try to get the rest of everyone in the building.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I need to roll to actually get up, don't I?
Oh, yeah, yeah, the athletics.
Oh, right.
Well, it's stealth and athletics, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Roll your stealth, which you're obviously going to pass.
Yeah. What? I'm whispering. One of you go up to that corner. Make sure that we're covered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nolly would take point. Wow. Yeah. To make sure that there's no one coming around.
Okay, I just rolled a 40 on my stealth check.
Well,
just teleport in at this point.
Yeah, all of a sudden you hear one of the dwarves go, "I'm deaf! I can't hear anything!"
Sir Thorin should have taken a week to retrain stealth and wear a breastplate instead of full plate for this clandestine mission.
And it's an athlete, it's like a DC 5, right? With a rope.
Yeah.
Well,
DC 10, with the and then plus rain.
Usually, but without the rain.
14 on the
okay,
die, so.
Yeah, you're fine, yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. I would be okay with Sir Thorin rolling in. Had his breastplate on.
That's too late.
we're kind of past that
right now.
Should have talked about that in the boat. Maybe you should wear leather.
He's like, I don't like it.
Maybe you should shut up.
And as the symbol of Milani on the front, you want him to take that off?
How dare you, Tim?
What are we doing this for? Tim?
This is my god, my lady. Show some respect.
And he hits her.
No, she's so small.
Lifts out the morning star.
Oh, he's a lance. He's a lance.
Wait, he's not a nice devil. That's a handsome devil.
The morning star is my sidearm.
Your sidearm.
All right, so you guys get over. So, like I said, you have a moment in this. You have a moment in this moment before you think that they get suspicious.
This could also be an opportunity. So we get everyone in the building, and then we could intentionally make a noise in this building and gank.
I was about to say, I have telekinetic projectile. I can launch something.
In another game, direction.
Like, what was that?
So I guess, have we gotten in the building at this point?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're all in the building. We have this impending potential threat of them coming around to look in this area at any moment. So I think I would kind of look to Malari about what she would want to do. Like,
okay, so we are in that building right there.
Yep. So you're just in the building. It butts up against the wall, yeah. like the fence going around.
Well, I was outside of the fence for close to a half an hour. What did you all observe?
because Nolly hasn't actually told anyone. Yes. Is she like two enemies approaching very soon? We want to throw them off the trail and bring them in. We need to decide now.
Well, Sir Thorin, why don't you sit right behind where that door is going to open, and we will draw them in.
All right.
What if we don't try to engage them unless we absolutely have to? Let's wait and see if they actually investigate.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, let's keep a lookout and like actually see what's out there.
Yeah, that way
we're trying to draw them, because if they just go back to their posts.
Tim was very much like the stealth approach to this mission kind of guy, and he's already like, let's just bring him and kill him.
Sir Thorin's like, we could try to draw them in with a diversion, but what if one of them goes to sound the alarm while the other investigates?
Yeah.
Let's make sure
we're painfully disciplined for slavers.
So let's wait and have one of the sneaky ones try to get a good look.
Mm-hmm. I'll do that.
And and we'll take it from there.
Alright, so one of them does come by. It is an all too familiar Scarlet Triad Thug.
Munching on a big old handful of Asterius.
So only one.
So one goes over. He walks on the south side of the building that he was in front of.
Right.
Looks in the corner that you guys were just huddled in. Just goes, whatever, and goes right back.
So I can't help but notice there's a bit of tree coverage inside this little...
Yeah, there's like a... There's like a right here.
Oh.
There's shrubs and trees to the north inside this fort.
And all the vines and rose thorns on Sir Thorne's armor blend right in. It's like camouflage.
They never see me in here.
So I'm just saying we have options other than just going building to building here.
Right. That's a good point.
And real quick, Jake, what is this? It's like a weird little...
Yeah, that structure to the north directly.
I think that might have been like a horse... Yeah, like a pen of some kind for pigs, maybe. I don't know.
We're just going
to
pretend it's out there.
I mean, you can... It's not new, so... Okay.
Maybe it's the latrine.
And he was just peeing outside of it.
Dude walked all the way across camp, 99% of the way to the latrine, and it was like, good enough.
Just too far.
I made it as far as I want today.
Man, just shows how gonna make it all the way, man. Okay.
Nobody said there was rules here. Yeah.
So the two buildings that are closest to this dilapidated building, the ones that there's guards posted in front on the opposite end of us, yeah. Yep. Are there back doors or those windows on the other side?
Those would be windows.
Oh, they are windows. Okay.
So, yes.
All right, so Malari wants to check it out.
Yeah.
Yes,
all right, so you go ahead and check it out. Go ahead and roll me a stealth. I know it's like right there, but I want the anticipation.
The anticipation, 32.
32. So you're able to stealth up just fine. You're able to, you know, just step in spots where it's not like as muddy, so you're not making a splash and stuff like that.
But aren't I an elf, so I just walk on top of the mud.
Exactly. Yeah. That was like the funny scene from the movie.
But,
like,
it was so fucking trudging, random.
It's like everybody's trudging through the snow, and then it's just like a list on top of it. Like, wait a minute.
Elves are when just I was younger, that watching cool, all right?
My older sister was like, he's an elf, so he walks on top of the snow, and I was just watching the movie going, that makes no fucking sense.
What are you talking about? Is he less dense? What do you mean? Okay, so you get up to one of them, and they're... It's not like a curtain, but it definitely looks like somebody like nailed like a blanket up to like cover it. So it looks like... So they're trying really hard to cover it. So when you walk over to the next one, they kind of did the same thing. Roll me perception, though, as you're kind of like up against those two windows.
I will. Thirty-one.
So in the north one, you hear some mumbling in there. Doesn't sound like too much is happening. But on the bottom, you hear somebody crying. Mm.
I'm probably keeping
it sounds like a female.
All right. Sounds like we've got a big baby in this room.
Very large baby.
Okay, I will return to everybody and let them know. So we're clearly trying to keep people out, keep it so people can't see in. A little strange they cover all the windows when they have walls protecting everything, but you know, whatever.
Could be some sort of psychological attack on their prisoners. Not let them see the light of day or the sun. Folks start to lose hope.
Nice.
Which windows did you check?
These.
All three?
Yeah.
But just the two, I thought.
Just the two. The room, the building to the north of those two, there's no windows.
Okay,
on
that. Okay.
Yep, that's what I meant to tell them.
And these windows are boarded up. Is that what you said?
They're
not boarded, but it looks like they hung like a blanket or something like that. So,
are they windows that can be opened?
Did they look like they could?
It's like a big single pane thing. So, unless you had some way to like dislodge it out. There's no, like, latch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just like a big single pane.
Does anyone have a diamond and a cutter?
Funny you should mention
that. I watched Despicable Me. He just used a baby pin.
Oh, shit.
The hyper-realistic movie.
Yep.
It was really funny. Bit. He was doing a heist, and then he realized that his baby bag got mixed up with his heist bag.
Oh my gosh!
And so he had to use a baby pin to like cut out the window. It was fun.
Okay, follow the expert. Thanks to your ally's assistance, you can add your level as a proficiency bonus to the associated skill check, even if you're untrained. Additionally, you gain a circumstance bonus to your skill checks based on your ally's proficiency. +2 for expert, +3 for master, +4 for legendary. So I can. If you guys are doing follow the expert, I can follow you, but I can't do other exploration while I'm doing this. So I can't be I can't be like doing perception. I can't be raising my shield. I have to focus on stealth.
So you're creature 10. I think, judging by Nolly's bonus, I'm a master in stealth, so you could get a +13.
Okay, and then yeah, plus my one stealth.
Right. My
minus,
so 14.
And then my -3 for armor. Yeah, so yeah.
That's better than it was.
Yeah, a +11 with all this rain should work. +2 for aid.
Yep. And I was reading about like thunderstorms, and there is like it doesn't exactly say how far away a creature is concealed, but it does say a downpour of rain might make creatures concealed if they're far away, whatever far away means. So there is something to say that, like, you know, maybe I think we could make something work with the combined skill sets of everyone.
All right, so
it still seems like we need to do more recon, though.
Yeah, I agree, more
like
recon.
We have two. Yeah, it looks like Malaria, what did you see?
I've already told them everything.
Oh, right. Well, it seems like perhaps they're keeping the prisoners in these two buildings, but we're still looking for perhaps make the leader of the operation. Do you think? If we went for the leader, made a big show of us taking him down, that the rest would scatter? Do you think, or you think we have to kill every Scarlet Triad member right here?
From what I understand, these don't seem like scattering types. They seem like go down with the ship kind of types.
Yes, I've seen these thugs.
Strangely fanatical slave drivers, these.
Still, I like taking the fight. I like the idea of taking the fight to them. If we take down if we do take down the head of their operation first, it could at least sow chaos.
Do you want me to make a loop around the entire complex?
I think that'd be quite advantageous.
Yes, I think maybe we at least go in pairs.
Yes, but one of you might slow me down.
I'll defer to you. You're the expert.
So I have a +22 in stealth.
Oh, god damn, I didn't think anybody here had a higher stealth.
Yeah, no, our stealth is actually pretty solid. I think mine is +18.
We're three spies in a night.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, Malaria, what's your stealth?
Oh, mine's +20.
+20, okay. So maybe Malaria and Nolly.
Yeah, that works.
Try to make the loop.
Yeah, that way.
Okay. There I was, I'm definitely the stealthiest person here.
Yeah, that way, Laria.
+19. Okay.
Yeah, Laria can stay with Sir Thorn just to keep us on 2-2.
You guys can drink your coffee and stay awake like losers.
Hey, you say that, and I do have long night tea, which makes it so you have saving throws against sleep effects, apparently, so.
Oh, sick.
Sweet. I think, don't I get, as an elf, like, bonuses to that or something?
Oh, I don't know if they kept that with 2E.
Oh,
did
yeah,
they?
I don't know.
That was a 1E, I think, but I don't know.
They're like, let's make elves even more of a coward.
Thorn down some of that tea. He's like, I always like to get jacked up before a good fight.
Let's go!
Okay.
And Laria is like a bruiser, so her and Sorthorn would probably get along.
Yeah, definitely.
was looking at my spell list. I was like, now would be a really good time to see that invisibility spell.
Oh! But Malari does have other sorts of spells that might come in handy.
I can just read you off the whole spell list, and there's a couple that'll come in handy, but nothing in... So she's got Detect Magic, Mage Hand, Shield, Telekinetic Projectile, Charm, Soothe, True Strike, Calm Emotions, Mirror Image, Telekinetic Maneuver, Enthrall, Haste, and Mind Reading.
Oh, Mind Reading is sick!
Yes, I cannot wait to use that, but...
God yeah. dang!
I can't wait for Jake to critically succeed on his will save.
It's inevitable. And the crit succeed is like, you know that someone casts a spell on you and all.
Yeah,
they get to see your thoughts too, I think.
Yeah, it says critical success. The target perceives vague surfaces thoughts from you when you cast the spell.
Dang.
Surface thoughts.
I cast the spell, they critically succeed, and all they hear is, hey, Margarina.
Malari's a master at emptying her mind.
Alright. So you guys are you going clockwise, counterclockwise?
Just go clockwise from where we are. Hit the trees first. Well,
yeah.
So we're gonna run into a problem when we hit both gates. That's gonna be the issue.
Yeah, we know for a fact though that the south gate has a watchman, so we don't want to go to the south. So I think we'd want to strafe towards the north to kind of see what that is, we can even see if there's a.
Yeah.
What was that?
As I do, Loki, want to sprint and dive directly into the well that's in the center of this, because there's a secret in there.
Oh yeah, if you have a well and there's not a secret in there, like, there's a whole another like level to this place in that well.
Everybody knows the only point to wells is keeping secrets. Mm-hmm. There's no other point.
Wells and waterfalls, that's what they have in common.
Sorry, guys, I was just drawing out the shadow temple here. What were we talking about?
Oh no. I need those stupid bunny slippers that were really useful.
The hover boots.
Yeah, the hover boots, yeah. Don't worry, it'll get a lot easier once we get the Eye of Truth.
There it is. Alright, so you guys go clockwise. Mm-hmm. So like I said, you go across what was some kind of pig pen or something like that. The trees and stuff you're talking about there, it looks like there's some attempt at crops. And by that I mean it looks like they're growing just some root vegetables and radishes.
Asparagus.
And... Yeah, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So much asparagus. You guys continue going around. What was your stealth checks again?
We didn't actually roll. Yeah.
Oh, but roll them now.
We're just assumed.
I'm so freaking good at stealth.
Just jacked at stealth. Oh my gosh. Yeah, 39.
Yeah. I'm blanking right now. Tim, 18 plus 16. Or 19 plus 16.
Exactly. 35.
Yep.
35. Okay.
Sheesh.
So you guys are able to... you get around to that point, and you see the door of the one building that you had not opened yet. Okay.
So the northernmost of the three that are nearest to the dilapidated.
Exactly, okay. Yeah. Another Scarlet Triad member pokes her head out, and she... goes over to the side, sort of like in the corner, and then she kind of like
disease.
Fuck. God. And then she goes back in.
Whoa.
Hmm. And this is to say that you critically succeeded at your stealth rolls. She did not notice you guys at all.
Gosh.
Well, it's either that or she was drinking.
Sick, or did it look like she was disgusted by something?
It looked like she like spit something up. So not like she vomited. Ugh. It was just like you ever like cough up like some phlegm in your throat. Yeah, something like that.
Huh.
All right. Do we see any guards on the northern gate?
There are no guards on the northern gate.
Hell yeah. It's a lot of open, yes.
Yeah.
Are these towers, or are they just up like raised platforms?
They're it's the infrastructure to control the gate pretty much. So it's just like it's like a maybe like a 5-foot by 5-foot like encampment, built into the gate. So I wouldn't really be able to stand on it very well. But you could definitely take cover. So like if you're on the other side, so it provides cover, but it's mostly just to be able to hold the gate up.
We could hop over the wall and then hop back over on the far side,
like in between that building and the wall.
Like, so the where we are, I think we're around like the root vegetables. Mm-hmm. We could hop over the wall, since we know there's no guard tower. Traverse along the wall, kind of keeping close to it, and then when we get to the building on the opposite end that also kind of looks abandoned, we could sling the rope over there and continue our.
I do like.
Oh, that. Okay.
Yeah. It's like I'm thinking in the confines of this place, but like no, we have like the whole outside of the wall that we can work with.
Well, as long as we, I mean, just going from that check we did before, did we see and make sure that everything north is also clear, or?
We never checked really north.
I was gonna say you guys did go around to be able to see that the gate goes around.
Yeah.
But I'll say that it's clear for a bit. It looks like they were chopping down some of these trees, obviously for firewood and such. But you do see that the woods start eventually, and there's a trail that looks pretty well used. That just goes into the woods and just kind of like goes off into the distance a bit.
So beyond the north of this encampment is just woods.
It's just woods, but like I said, you look at the trail, and it looks heavily used.
Game trail.
Yeah. It might be easier though to go through the trees rather than the encampment. Though I think I'm still.
I think that's a great idea. I think that's what we're gonna go with. Do we want to try to get Thorn and the Mark's characters who Laria. Never remember? Yep. We want to get them into the trees just so we're moving them forward so they're not, if something does go down, they're not all the way back.
Oh, that's a good point. Because we're talking like pretty far away.
Because we're talking several rounds, they're not going to be able to get to us.
Yeah, of running.
So I like the stair step thing where we go out a little bit, bring them up, go out a little bit, bring them up. I think that's probably safer.
Also, kind of like a bit meta, but based on like where the torch lights are, it seems that the eastern section of this encampment has more buildings that are not occupied compared to occupied. So, if we were on the eastern side, we might be able to have like strategic takeouts easier on the eastern side of like luring people away. I don't know, something along those lines. I mean, eventually we are going to have to start like selecting a target.
Yeah.
Hard part is that we can't really go inside. It doesn't seem like we can go inside the buildings to really determine who the head of the snake is. Like, we think that the bottom left are prisoners. We don't know what the top left is, the one that just had the poisoner come out of.
Yeah.
So
maybe we just investigate that one.
The poisoner one?
Mm-hmm. Because the door...
Well, it doesn't have any windows.
I know, but the door is kind of facing away from the rest of the camp.
It is. So probably, that is a good point.
We could potentially get in there. Without alerting anybody. You know, with the rain and the thunderstorm going on outside.
It could provide sufficient cover for battle.
Mm-hmm. And then at least we could get, especially if we captured somebody, we could get some info.
That's a good point.
Because, yeah, we don't know who, whoever is in charge, we don't know which building they're in. But we don't think it's the bottom two.
I do still have Enthrall.
Oh, true.
That's a good point. That is a very good point. So, we're thinking maybe try to move our group, like, maybe towards the garden, and then you try to just go in there and Enthrall?
It's an option.
It is an option.
And it's all creatures in range for Enthrall. It's not just one.
Yeah, so it's like a group, which is pretty sick.
Oh, range 120 feet,
yeah.
All creatures in range.
Yeah.
So, what's the,
Yeah, for a third level spell, it's kind of fucking cracked.
You're also pretty well trained in deception. You could probably play it off for a minute before you cast it.
Yeah.
As, like, you know, you're new in camp.
I'm the new Scarlet Triad. What's up?
New Scarlet Triad.
New what's one. Up, my fellow poisoners?
And then they immediately are like, why isn't your head shaved? Like, shit.
I mean, I know slavery is wrong, but can you imagine shaving these locks? That's the true crime.
You also have calm emotions as a spell.
Yep. But I don't think calm emotions do the trick if they're trying to kill us.
But it says you forcibly calm creatures, soothe them into a non-violent state.
Exactly. So as long as you're not violent to them, you can kind of you could use that. You also have charm. Good old-fashioned charm.
Charm has always worked. Never failed.
Never.
If they fail, they become friendly towards you. If it's a low-level lackey.
Yeah. And honestly, I'm just seeing this about calm emotions. The critical failure is as failure, but hostility doesn't end the effect, which is wild.
Oh, wow. That's a really interesting crit.
Yeah.
God.
Dang.
All right.
So we're going to try to move them up to the trees, and then we're going to try to move into the building.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alright, go ahead and make me stealth checks. You get to do the
spell power
crop aid. Uh-huh. Yeah, the expert aid and all that.
Stacks on stacks.
Yep. Alright, so I'm gonna get an effective plus 13 to this.
Yep.
I think so.
Alright, I can do it. I can do it.
Come on!
I believe in you.
I can do it.
Yeah!
Oh, okay. I got a 32.
27.
Okay.
Alright, lay it on us, Malar. What'd you get?
Oh, I thought we were just rolling to aid, but if we're just rolling for regular, 34.
I think we'd have to, did you already aid?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, so you'd roll the aid and roll for yourself, so.
I got a 34.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay. Alright, so, at a certain point, you guys get up to that little the little copse of trees that are inside of here, and the bushes and the asparagus, and you guys feel pretty confident. One of the thugs, the Scarlet Triad thugs, that was watching one of the buildings, you hear him go, "Tired, rain and shit." And you see him walk into the building that one guy came out of earlier.
Which building? Can you ping it?
Yes, I'm pinging it right now. Okay. So it's the... Yep, so the one building that has the torch on it.
Right.
And then he doesn't seem to come out of there. So you now know that there's only one guy watching the two buildings.
Whoa.
Okay. It's a mark too.
Okay.
So do we stick with that? I mean, sticking with our going in the top building, I still like it because the one who's closest is the one guy instead of two guys coming to aid. Because the other building is like, it's like almost 100 feet away. Like the one where the guy just went into. So now we only have... Man, even if the guy stays in the center of the two buildings, he's like 80 feet away. But if, this is pretty well isolated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, if we can magically charm somebody and have time with them, and we can get all the information we need in one shot, we know exactly which building to go into.
Yes.
Oh,
and that way we can do whatever we want to get into that building without going anywhere else.
Oh,
so
my
gosh. That's a pretty sweet opportunity.
That is a pretty sick opportunity.
So what do you want me to do, boys?
I want you to try to charm the guard by himself.
Wait, which one?
So one of the two guards guarding these longhouses outside, one of them went across the camp to the east and has not come back. So there's one guard over there, so we have an opportunity to charm him and talk to him.
Okay. I will do that.
Oh my gosh.
Alright.
Alright, let's do this.
Go ahead. So go ahead and do, so you're gonna stealth up, I guess, like behind the building.
Yep.
Okay. Go ahead and make a stealth check. As you kind of walk around the outside, or what, behind the building.
Crush it, 14 on the die.
Okay. Alright, so you managed to do that. So, he is sitting on the corner, so he's like, you can see it, I'll reveal him around. So you can see he's, like, just under an awning that, like, barely keeps him dry, you know what I mean? But he does appear to just be sitting there.
Alright, I will toss a little rock, get him to look back.
So he hears it, and he's like, what's that noise?
I hit him with those rats. Weird...
Rats again?
Weird elf eyes looking right into his soul, and I cast Charm.
Okay.
Make me a will save.
I will.
Do not crit succeed, Milo.
Come on. Come on, Jake.
Be cool.
Just fail.
What's your spell DC?
You've got to beat a 29.
Okay.
Will save, 29.
Alrighty. I'll see you guys next week.
Ah, you bastard! You fucking bastard!
No! That's Jake going, so he critted.
I did roll. I'm not telling you what it is.
Oh my god.